So, M.K. Chavez.
Hi, everyone. I'm just going to need a minute to turn my mic on. Hold, please. All right. I'm really thrilled to be reading with Heather. I'm very excited to for her book. Very excited to actually have my own copy now. Just thank you, Steve, for inviting me and including me in this great reading. I decided that what I wanted to do is bring you 30 minutes is kind of like, I don't know, it's like an eternity for poets, you know? Usually they're like, you know, we'll have you read for 8 minutes. 10, 12, now that's getting crazy. 30 is like saying, you will read forever. So I decided to bring you kind of a combination of my work. And some of you I met last year in Heather's class, yeah. And I just got the best comment. Somebody said, oh, I met you last year. We were in the class together. We talked about orgasms. It doesn't get better than that, right? All right. I'm gonna read from Dear Animal first. Artemis, come ride my ovarian horns down with the captive clitori. Be free and speak my grisly bare lips. Ode to the news of the day. They say that addicts are walking on broken glass on their way to their death. I seek justice for all the insomniac flowers. Don't let them be lonely. There have been times I have never felt more alone than when I was surrounded by your gaze. I'm writing to say that there has been an airstrike, a ground offensive, a plane downed, children on buses going nowhere, having nowhere to go. A woman in Baltimore whose body was found in the news said severe trauma. And her brother refers to her as him, because even after we emerge from our chrysalis, people may not see us. We are all still learning. Somewhere, someone is injecting botulism into their forehead. Today, it is possible to live longer, to erase personal history from your face, to inject yourself away. The word addict comes from the Latin attico, which means devoted. It is the devotion of the moth to the moon that drives it to its end. When I say devotion, I mean your face, my love. I mean, I don't care how much glass you break. I mean, how lovely the shine of your brokenness. To break down is better than to break up. If I ever believed in anything, it is you. I always like to say about that particular poem that people often think it's a love poem. And I guess it is a love poem. It is a love poem to the people that I read poetry to and the people that I work with in my other work. I work in social justice and public health, And I was hearing a news story on NPR one day, and it seemed how people were referring to people who have problem relationships with drug use seemed so cruel and kind of careless. And I had this moment of thinking that, you know, I feel so incredibly devoted to the people who I get to work with and on behalf of, that, you know, they needed a love story. And then I thought, well, you know, the passion that I feel for this community of folks that I do advocacy for is the same passion that I feel when I am writing and when I am writing to you. Because for me, I feel like I am writing very much to people in the world. I've heard over the years many people talk about how they write for them. You know, I'm writing for myself. I don't care what you think. I do. I really care what you think. And I do try to stay true to my voice and what I need to write. But I am writing to connect. San Quentin Senryu. Building a prison in a beautiful place. Act of kindness, cruelty. I'd like to read this one twice, just because it's so short, so little. Building a prison in a beautiful place. Act of kindness, cruelty. Swamp Thing. Lessons learned early. How when you tried to play dodgeball and the ball hit you in the face, and freckle-faced as Saeed Abdel had so many questions. Took you behind the school, and would you let him kiss you? And would you let him go to second base? And you could only think of the red and dimpled ball meeting your face, the black eyes that followed, the black eyes that followed your mother, and you held back and did not understand second base. Still, Saeed Abdel's freckles surrounded by a flesh flushed pink as he insisted, but I'm experienced. You heard through the vine, which was a snaked swamp, a mangrove filled with serpents, that Saeed was experienced because he practiced touching his little cousin's breasts when they found themselves alone. Felt her up, he said. She would hide under the bed, he said. Only certain creatures survive brackish water. Saeed told everyone, first and second, and even third base. For the rest of that year, there were chants in your wake. You were the last to be picked for the team. It was a well-known fact that when something came at you fast, you froze. You were assemblage of saline and troubled root systems, mangle of habitat. You, being woman, being girl, you pillar of salt. You became the kind of terrain that accepts whatever settles into it. Any invasion of erosion. You will never be good at group sports. Alligator in cotton mouth whispers about those types of girls rustle in the fetter bush. Mother Morphosis is a book about motherhood, mothers, just the concept of it. It's also about my mother. Cut from the same cloth. I am my mother's negligee, pale and antiquated like the fluff of her slippers. When I remember my mother, she's soft like she wasn't towards the end. I picture her at the San Francisco Zoo in a mini dress and platforms precarious. I held her hand in the lion's house, and father wanted to stay to watch the feeding and she could not. I held her hand tightly because if I held it tight enough, I thought I might become part of her, and then neither of us would have to be so alone. When my mother lost her mind for the fifth time, it was early enough that we were still counting. Her father called her blasphemy, beast, and possessed. It was the time of being a girl, then an armadillo, then the meat torn apart by the lions. As I was devoured, I asked politely, "Is this what becomes of the body?" I've never stopped searching from the clothed animal from which I came. We were living in the end times. It was in vogue to call a woman who you've hurt crazy or daughter. Signet. In the family portrait, there are two of us, tender-throated and entwined. Mother was a swan and misunderstood. How could we have known that it would take forever to untangle? I was going into fourth grade. Already we had been broken down into hunter and hunted. Mostly, I was hunted. That was the year we learned about other cultures. I'd been placed in a remedial class, stupid kid class, they called it. Each day we would line up without being told. We were led to the bottom of the building to a dirty, beige, windowless room. Sister Peggy sat at the desk in the front of the room, and she would consider each one of us before giving us a reading assignment. When my turn came, she stared at me. Her face, a question I wanted to answer, that I was tired and that my mother was sick again. If she asked, I would say, "She is sick like this," and point to the purplish blue that blossomed on my cheek. I would tell her that my mother doesn't mean it. I would ask her, "Can you help?" Instead, she looked at me and pushed a reading workbook into my hand. On the front was a picture of a woman with many rings on her neck. Her neck elongated, long as a swan's. "You need to dedicate yourself," the teacher said. "You need to pay attention." How I admire the devotion of swans, mute, yet always ready, appreciated mostly for their beauty until they break bones. Mother picked me up from school. We were swans in our silence. I didn't know our destination until we arrived. Terror spread through me as we stood in front of the salon. I resisted, held onto the street post while my mother pulled my small body. The next day, I hid my head in a hoodie and offered promises to a God who I still believed in to please not let anyone at school notice. It was late in the day when we descended the stairs and entered the room. Sister Peggy considered me and lifted herself up from her perch. "What do we have here? Is this a new haircut?" She cooed, her lips thin and sharp as a beak. "Come now, let everyone see." She pulled off my hoodie, exposing my shorn head. The cool air wrapped itself around my neck. I imagined a lake, still and glassy, a solitary swan, and its slightly distorted reflection. Mother of the forest. Mother as deer, as wounded animal, mother as wound, mother glowing in memory, gossamer of herself, a parody and cliche, nicest woman in the world, mother. Mother has platform shoes that glitter. Mother is pale pink negligee and go-go boots, but never at the same time. Mother as goodness. Mother as why can't you be more like your mother, mother? Mother on the day she asked if she could set us on fire. Mother of black eyeliner. Mother of white skin. Mother of porcelain, broken mother. Mother of straight hair, mother of no resemblance, mother delicate, mother who offers delicacies, mother who doesn't ever look like a mother, mother of fragility, mother of damaged things, mother of beatings and cold shower fury, mother on the other side of the door when you are locked out, mother of concussions and vomiting, love, mother, mother, love, loss, mother, love. Mother of split mind, mother of fists, mother of coagulated rage, mother of cast iron pan, mother of defeat, mother who gives birth to darkness, mother of my skin, mother who needed a mother. What's up, pussycat, mother? Mother who loved the Beatles and Los Angeles Negros, mother song, mother who sang to me at Stowe Lake and stroked my hair, mother of the asylum, wild mother stealing me to the woods, mother she-bear, mother who said you will be safer among these animals, mother silent film star, no voice, mother, her father's daughter, mother, never really mine to have mother, mother doe. So I spend a lot of time thinking about eco-poetics, nature, diaspora, and what nature means to me. So I brought you a work in progress. Deforestation. One night, long ago, my mother took me into the woods to lose me. This is why I understand languishing and old growth. At twilight, my tenderness opens to understand the path between the trees, the space between the sugar pines, how trees are cut into logs and stacked, what it is to wait to be made into something of use. I understand loss. I was 7 when my mother took my hand, said nothing that could be understood as language, and walked us from the campground into the backcountry. What is known? 10% of the world's wilderness was lost between 1990 and 2015. Half of the world's rainforests have already been cleared. Deforestation has been a war tactic to deprive the enemy. I understand what it is to lose everything. My mother lost her mind in 1982. That's what they said. Lost, like keys, a wallet, glasses. Women in Mexico are marrying trees. My mother was a marrying type. It is a radical response for a woman to marry a tree. My mother would have approved. My mother said, you will be safer among these trees. I've never met a man I wanted to marry, but I would marry a tree. I understand when Agent Orange was used in Vietnam, it killed everything. I understand the United States, even as I will never fully understand it. I understand that deforestation causes extinction. Today in Vietnam, it is the mangroves keeping Ho Chi Minh City from joining the ocean. I understand what it is to be saved by a tree. There are trees I will never see again. I never saw my mother again after the night that she took me into the forest. I understand that I may never see your face again, and that we self-impose our own demise. Understand the dilemma of the Ouroboros. Most of our ancestors lived and understood tropical forests. Deforestation is naturally occurring and human-induced and an ongoing issue. The Amazon is being removed one football field at a time. American is apple pie. I understand that I have never been American. I could have been born here 1,000 times and not be American. Every forest has its own tongue, each tree a unique murmur. I imagine the mountain hemlock listening to my mother on that blessed night. I may search for one particular tree and ask it to tell me the secrets of that time that we spent together. As always, there is controversy. Experts do not agree. Some blame industrial logging. Others blame the poor. Particular forests are like gods. See them reaching towards the heavens. My mother was the kind of woman who was considered ornamental. She wouldn't hurt a fly, they would say, as a way of saying we can do whatever we want to her. It is supposed that nature is on some endless cycle of regeneration. Society hates women too. A hint of vengeance can be found in the way nature is probed with rational thought. The slash and burn, the dollar sign. I want to tell every tree, you are more than a resource. The forest is a metropolis of myths, a place of undergrowth networks and understanding. It saves me. It's no surprise that witches ran away into the forest. The sympathy of trees. The forest is a place of confusion and error and wandering for some. Meanwhile, the forest is a metaphorical state, the only home I've ever known. There are people who still exist in the forest. I'm there right now, holding my mother's hand. I understand that next to a tree, I am not terminal. That all that matters are the aesthetics of detritus and roots, our beginnings and yearnings for entanglements. The Makiswat is a pink tuft tree where the blue-breasted Uraka sits making sounds that resemble knowledge. When you're in a forest, you'll go astray. It is a place of otherness. How's everyone doing? Thank you for listening closely or pretending to be awake while you're keeping your eyes off. No, I really do appreciate your attention. Let's see. I think I want to leave you with something a little bit more upbeat. This is called A Brief History of the Selfie, and it's a lyric essay. And I kind of feel like it's a bedtime story, a little bit. It starts with an epigraph. I really believe there are things nobody would see if I didn't photograph them. Deanne Arbus. The first selfie may have been a daguerreotype. The process was slow, as is with most things that capture the soul. It was 1839, and Robert Cornelius was looking at himself. Once the image was printed, he wrote on the back, "The first light picture ever taken." The selfie was criticized with the same fervor with which society criticizes young women. I love a selfie that speaks in tongues. It seems right that we should be our biggest fan and our own paparazzi. In 2012, selfie became a hashtag. Time magazine included hashtag selfie in its list of buzzwords that year. Lionel and I started exchanging selfies long before that year. The first selfies sent were of my feet, never bare. He sent selfies of his hands. In 2013, the Oxford English Dictionary added selfie to its canon and called it the word of the year. Lionel and I have exchanged selfies at ridiculous rates, and then lulls occur. We eventually break these absences after accusing each other of being the one that stopped. There's a tenderness after each lull. Eminem took a selfie with the Mona Lisa. Albrecht Dürer painted his first selfie at the age of 13. Danny Trejo took a shirtless selfie on the DC state capitol steps after he voted. Kim Kardashian West is a selfie fiend, a major contributor to the sexy selfie criticized for her selfies with the fervor previously mentioned. In the jungle, crested macaques found a nature camera and took selfies, the most stunning one of a female smiling directly at the viewer. The macaques took over 30 selfies in total. This act, of course, led to a legal debate as to who owns the image. The most controversial images in Western art history have been of female nudes. At the unveiling of Manet's Olympia, women fainted, men beat the painting with their umbrellas. It could have been Olympia's brazen gaze. Of the criticisms of her naked selfies, Kim Kardashian West said, "Enough is enough." The average lifespan of a person is 27,375 days. I know, that's creepy. They say the average millennial is expected to take 25,700 selfies in their lifetime. There have been concerns about beauty and the ruin of lives and other human dilemmas. Is it narcissism or self-love? Never enough discussion about the gaze. This isn't new. Everyone has something to say about what people want to say about themselves. The wide angle of most cell phones distorts the nose and the chin. I wonder if the selfie is just another mirror. The mirror we know today was invented in 1835. It was also called the looking glass. Before the looking glass, we were still looking into still dark pools of water. There is a selfie of Lionel and me in a trailer in upstate New York. We look cold. We're wearing many layers of clothing. We are wearing matching plaid robes. We are standing in front of a heater. We look terrible. It was a beautiful day. Later the same day, we would take a walk. A pack of dogs would follow us, and it would wake us from our hazy dream. A photographic journey is a hazy dream. Women take more selfies than men. Men are the most critical of the selfie. One reporter said about the selfie, "Is there anything more annoying?" Don West took a selfie with his blonde daughters, each of them holding soft serve cones after the verdict that made George Zimmerman a free man. He named the image #chilling. James Franco defended the selfie as a journalistic moment. Celebrities provide selfie tips. One for them and one for you. Communicate your feelings. Turn in a circle until you find the right light. No duck lips. A baby duck will imprint to an inanimate object if it is abandoned. To view Nan Golden's selfies is to remember relationships will change you. A cosmopolitan study warns that if you are a couple who takes too many selfies, it is a warning sign. There are no studies on couples who send selfies to each other. As we exchange selfies, Lionel and I discuss aging, the parts of our bodies that we love and the parts that we hate. Sometimes he is in New York and sometimes Vienna. I like him better when he's in Vienna. In selfies, non-professional photographers show a bias for the left cheek. Selfie is an acceptable word in Scrabble. Deaths by selfie include electrocution, falling from staircases and cliffs, shark attacks, car crashes, being hit by trains, and wounds inflicted by handguns. Of those who die from selfies, 75% are men. Lionel and I have exchanged selfies for 18 years. It is our language. Some say the selfie is dead. Love of the selfie is mercurial. Some say selfies have their own structural anatomy. Lionel and I suspect selfies have a life of their own. And it ends with an epigraph. A photograph is a secret about a secret.